Jesus said to the chief priests and to the elders of the people, "Hear another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard and put a hedge around it, dug a winepress, and built a tower. Then he leased it to tenants and went on a journey. When vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to obtain his produce. But the tenants seized the servants, and one they beat, another they killed, and a third they stoned. Again, he sent other servants, more numerous than the first ones, but they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, thinking, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to one another, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and acquire his inheritance.' They seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. What will the owner of the vineyard do to those tenants when he comes?" They answered him, "He will put those wretched men to a wretched death and lease his vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the proper times." Jesus said to them, "Did you never read in scriptures? 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done, and it is wonderful in our eyes.' Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
A little over 10 years ago, I was involved in conducting interviews of priests throughout the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, just talking about their life and ministry. I think I've spoken of that before. But there was one interview that kind of sat with me, one of our retired priests, and in the course of the conversation with them, which was really quite beautiful, he spoke a lot of experiences of joy. But towards the end of the interview, there was a moment where he kind of stopped and spoke of kind of a deep sadness in his heart that was rooted in the fact that in all his years of priesthood, he could never point to another person that he had inspired to enter into the seminary or to become a priest. And that sat heavy with him, that no one in the course of his ministry saw something in him that they themselves wanted to do. And while not taking away anything from everything else that he said, I have had the privilege to read a whole lot of autobiographies of guys that are looking at seminary formation, and a common element in that is a sense of inspiration on the part of another priest. The priest or relationship with the priest helps stir that sense of vocations in others. And I'll be honest, in my own life, if at the end of all these years I can't point to anybody who saw something in me that led them to desire that as well, that would be a place of sadness too. That would be a place of sadness that a life that I love so much, that somebody else wouldn't want to embrace that and walk that because of something that they saw in me. Our readings this weekend have two parables, very similar parables, but they're different. They are slightly different. We hear in our first reading the story of a landowner who decides to plant a vineyard. He plants the vineyard and he builds a wall around it to protect it. He builds a tower to provide shelter and protection for those who will work in the vineyard. He cultivates the soil. He spades it. He pours himself into planting good grapes, or planting good vines. But in the end, he gets wild grapes. When he looks for a yield, he's disappointed. And then God says to the people, "What more could I do? I did everything that I could. I've poured myself out, and all I have received are wild grapes." And it's a challenging story to the people of Israel and their own disobedience and their own rebellion in the face of everything that God had done for him. And I think it is a story that should make us kind of pause ourselves, because frankly, I think we know our own times of rebelliousness in our hearts, times when our commitment to prayer is really kind of the last commitment that we have in our day-to-day lives. Times with our giving to God and His church comes after I take everything for myself and make sure that all of my desires are satisfied. But it goes even beyond that, because we know times where we really rebel, where we simply just say no to the invitation to love, to the invitation of forgiveness, to the invitation of mercy and compassion. No to the call that God makes in our life. And we know times in our own lives don't really bear much fruit in our Christian living. Our gospel parable is similar. It starts the same way. It starts with the landowner who plants himself a vineyard, who puts a hedge around it, who builds a tower. And yet it very quickly becomes apparent that it's not really about the vineyard at all. It's about the tenant farmers who care for that vineyard and their unwillingness and their rebellion to give back to the landowner what is their due, to produce fruit in due season. And Jesus is very explicit about that. He is speaking to the scribes, the Pharisees, and the rulers of the people. And He tells them, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to another who will bear fruit, presumably the church. But before we think that that's just a parable about back then, Jesus makes it clear that those that the kingdom is given to also have the obligation to bear fruit. And I think that should cause us to step back and reflect a little bit. Because my brothers and sisters, we are not simply called to our own personal holiness. We are not just called to tend to the things in our own lives. We're not simply called to a relationship with God that is just about me and God. We are called to bear fruit in the lives of other people. And so we should ask ourselves, what is it about our own lives that is inviting, that stirs others to a sense of desire for what it is that we have and who it is that we profess ourselves to be? Why is not every single pew in this church full every single weekend? And what part do we ourselves play in that? How are we called through our joy, through our ministry, through our conviction, to really stir in others a desire to have what we have, a desire to encounter the living Christ, a desire to know God's mercy and healing, a desire to be for other people and not just the empty place of being for ourselves? What is it in our own lives that really bears fruit in the lives of other people, that we can offer back to God, that we can point to as a sign of our own faith, our own conviction, our own desire and striving after holiness, so that others desire holiness as well, that others desire God, that others desire salvation? Because my brothers and sisters, God wants everyone. He wants everyone to know Him, to love Him, to serve Him. He wants everyone to know His mercy and His salvation. And He entrusts us with the mission of witnessing to that mercy and salvation for all people at all times, so that others can see in us what they desire to see in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.